Hello and welcome to Gamercast episode 231, More of the Skyrims. This is the show recorded on the 9th of January, 2011. Hello, I'm your host, my name is Paul, and joining me this week, as always, is Catherine.
Hello.
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 So what's up?
Skyrim.
Skyrim is up. Is that up as in generally, or up as in it's one of our topics today?
Now for the news.
Okay, so this week, as you might have guessed, we've got some Skyrim information being released. This has been released via way of a magazine.
Game Informer.
Yep, okay. Did that totally wrong. I was going to say magazine, and then I was going to say witch, and you, but no.
I'm sorry.
You thought you just, like, oh. Anyway, basic details we've got. The world is 3 times the size that it was in Oblivion. What I'm not going to say is it was in Oblivion, I'm going to say is Tamriel was in Oblivion. If you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah.
What are you doing on my screen, yo? Quit messing with my screen.
Well, that's
yo.
200.
What? What's 200?
The third one down.
We know it's 200 years after Oblivion. That was mentioned in the magazine.
Yeah, I know. Just that this was the first set of stuff I had.
Whatever.
What?
Yeah, so anyway. Carry on. I'm drinking.
Skyrim is at war with High Rock. Paul knows all about this.
Wait. When I asked you about this yesterday, didn't you say we only knew about it being a civil war within Skyrim?
One thing said civil war. This one said that. And that was a synopsis taken from somewhere else.
Okay, well, there's also beards in the game.
Yeah. Proper beards. Man beards.
Which basically means we don't need to discuss anything else about this game. It has the beards. Not just the furry textures, which weren't even furry, they were just textures.
They were just shadows.
Yeah.
It was gross.
It has two beards, which means my Nord dude will have a massive beard.
To keep him warm.
Of course. A few other bits we've learned about the game. I'm just going to get this out of the way, start of all. Todd Howard has nerfed the magic schools. Mysticism is now being destroyed, and it's being just merged into different, you know, the different schools of magic. Like, you've got conjuring and restoration and so on. So mysticism is gone. Todd Howard!
You can do that every time.
It's the way I now say Todd Howard, okay? It's like saying, Hoogland! Hey, some noob just entered the chat room.
Don't call everyone noobs. It's kind of weird.
Oh, it's only two Baxters in there now. Falcor, do you really need two people in the chat room? No. So why are you doing it? He doesn't know. Okay, well, anyways. Game set 2 centuries after the events of Oblivion.
No HUD, apparently, on first-person view.
Yeah, they've improved third-person view.
Which they needed to do anyway.
Which, let's be fair.
Third-person sucked.
Oh no, it's cool seeing him jump. Press my jump button.
Seeing him jump. Ooh. Jump with no animation.
Ooh, he had animation. He just lifted his legs a little bit.
Worst jump animation.
Yeah, so apparently it's HUDless in first person mode now, which actually sounds quite interesting.
I think it could be cool.
Because let's face it, the HUD in the first one wasn't anything too fancy. So hopefully that'll be an improvement. We're just going to like randomly hit everything for this. There's also kids in the game, apparently.
Yeah. So you could
How are they
going to
do that? Because obviously if I roleplay a complete bastard, I want to kill those kids, yo.
Well, it's the thing. Like, they originally announced, didn't they, in Oblivion, we're going to have kids. And then last second decided, we're not going to have kids.
Did they? I don't recall that.
I remember at some point, there was a thread on the forums ages ago.
You've also got professions in it now. So, like, you could be a herbalizer and these other things.
Herbalizer. Herbalist.
Herbalizer.
Okay.
As Amelin would say.
Okay.
You can now be a cooker, a farmer,
There's movements with each of these.
A mining.
Miner.
You can also be a wood cutting and also a blacksmithing.
Blacksmith.
I'm just reading what's written on here. It's not my fault you used all the wrong stuff. Okay? So yeah, you can go off into the forest and you can chop a tree down. And
that could be quite cool. Imagine if you then decide to deforest the whole of a place.
I don't know if you could do that.
It'd be kind of interesting.
Be interesting if you could do that.
Like, and then everyone would hate you.
The trees were actually destroyable.
Yeah, if they actually came back or not.
Okay, and mindless speculation stops. Level cap is 50. There's no real confirmation on how the world levels up with you, like it did in Oblivion and Fallout.
Just some sort of level scaling. But they
combat has been apparently improved, so you can now dual wield weapons. So you can have a mace in one hand and a knife in the other hand, for example.
Yep.
Sounds great.
And spells as well, though.
I mentioned how spell. Yeah, you instead of having the spell button, where you would just cast whatever spell was selected, you equip a spell similar to like a plasmid, we imagine.
Or Fable.
In Bioshock, or like how Fable does it, where you just equip your... Well, hang on, Fable?
In Fable 3, you equip a spell, two spells, and you equip two... Well, you can equip a weapon. Well, two weapons, because you've got your gun and your sword. But I was just... Yeah. Because you can equip two spells, so they do different kinds of stuff.
Weather has been much improved, because obviously now it's going to snow a lot more than it used to, we would hope. And they've obviously improved the precipitation in the game.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool, especially improving snow.
Because in the previous games, basically, you know, you would just get a sort of texture in front of you with like a flat surface, and the snow or whatever would just slowly fall down it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember.
So, you know, the actual raindrops or snowflakes weren't actual objects falling. They were just on a surface in front of you. Which means when you're running along, the snow just seems to run along with you. It also had some issues where if you were under a bridge or something, you would still see the snow falling under the bridge. So hopefully the new weather system will improve that. Weather will also have physics effects, so wind gusts will knock things over and things like that.
Oh, and electricity as well. Affecting metallic objects.
Yeah.
Same
10 races like always.
Do you have characters, models improved?
Well, yeah, obviously the graphics are improved.
Well, I suppose because it's a different engine, so.
Well, graphics improved. I don't think we need to say models have been improved, textures have been improved, because that's obvious.
Well, I like that because more customization as well. And they've said you can actually customise body features as well. Whether that means... Was it Agorians?
Reptile folk.
And Khajiit.
Yeah, well, in Oblivion, they nerfed Khajiits and Argonians by way of giving them humanoid models, like everyone else.
Obviously to save some time.
Yeah, basically to save some time. Well, they might have had some issues with the engine and doing funky models.
Maybe.
Over Oblivion, because they needed, like, tails and funny
legs. I suppose, yeah, you need more bones for a tail, so...
Yeah. So hopefully that will be improved. Wildlife is... We're going to have mammoths and saber-toothed cats. So they're going for, like, a sort of Ice Age-y feel with it. Even though the saber-toothed cats weren't really in the Ice Age, but whatever. Yeah.
So lots of changes...
Word.
You didn't mention dragons, did you?
What?
They're supposed to be appearing constantly throughout the game, not just to set pieces, like you said yesterday.
So in Oblivion, obviously you have the Oblivion Gates, which you would stumble across once you'd started the main campaign, which is why on all my following characters, I never ever went to that stupid place and gave that guy that stupid amulet, because stopping doing that would stop all the Oblivion Gates starting up.
Oh, that's cool.
So I would just like not do that, and then I'd be fine to wander around without having the sky turn a funny colour and without having this snotty low-nosed dinosaur bloke chasing me around, which is good. In this, however, you're going to have random dragon attacks, which I'm sure will be even more annoying.
Destroying cities and stuff.
Yeah, 5 main cities in the game.
Yeah.
They've also improved how things load. So in Oblivion, cities were their own levels which you would have to load into to actually obviously go there. Now they're just open out in the world, like some of the smaller towns in Oblivion and like all the cities in Morrowind, for example.
And they're not having load times in between going inside houses as well.
Yeah, so houses are now apparently constant also going to be either streaming in as you go along or actually physically part of the level already. Obviously, the specifics don't really matter. So yeah, a few details there. Obviously, they're going to slowly release more information as time goes on.
There's something I want to show you as well in relation to Elder Scrolls.
What?
There was a video recently put up about all these mod packs put together to make Morrowind look really good.
Yeah.
Looked amazing.
What, Morrowind? Are you sure?
Yeah, they made the water look really nice.
Well, the trouble with Morrowind is you can up the view distance quite high, but every bit you're on is part of a cell.
Mm.
And once, so you're on that bit there, but you can't see the next cell because it just doesn't load, because it's just how the game engine works. Unlike Oblivion, which would have a low-res version of the cells around you, which you can obviously load the higher-res ones if you really want. If you just change the, you know, something you can change. But Morrowind, that was the main limitation with making Morrowind look really good, because your view distance was always...
It was quite foggy in Morrowind, wasn't it?
Well, all games back then would use fog to obscure things. But when you turn like the fog off and just had maximum distance, because you always had the cells which wouldn't load around you, you were basically stuffed and it would always look bad, and then you would just see like the world just cutting off.
I'll show you it later, after the show.
Okay. Whatever.
So that's it about Skyrim?
Yeah, that is it about Skyrim, I suppose.
Oh, was that as well. You just remind me. So the soundtrack's not just Jeremy Soule.
They've got...
It's another guy collaborating.
Yeah, they've got... What's his name? Mel Gibson helping.
I think I had his name somewhere. He had a bit of an odd name. But he's done other game soundtracks.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's some guy. We don't seem to have it on our notes.
I'm sure it was on there somewhere, but... I don't know, Paul's just scrolling all around the place. Doesn't matter. So, next up, another thing that has actually been put into this month's Game Informer, which is, of course, where the Skyrim stuff came from, was some new stuff on Silent Hill 8, which has now been renamed to Silent Hill Downpour. So this is the newest Silent Hill title, which, of course, doesn't have Akira Yamaoka on the team anymore, because, of course, he left and is now working with that guy, Mikami. Shinji Mikami. So there was like, they got a preview of the game and they got to play through a demo of it, and it takes place, what they played, on the outskirts of Silent Hill.
You were saying? What? What? Are you talking about this or what? What's going on?
No, I'm talking about my stuff, but your music's quite loud.
Oh, I do apologise.
Oh, it's okay.
World of Warcraft.
Why is it taking so long?
Streaming. In it. Are you talking about this?
I am talking about this, but you're covering up my notes and you're interrupting with music and.
Hey, we should use some of this for Name That Game. I don't know, let's nick the Halo theme. No one would know that.
So it takes place on the outskirts. The town is apparently now so large that there's a subway system to travel in between points in the town. So they've vastly increased the. Increased the size of the of Silent Hill. There's apparently going to be side quests. I'm not sure really how this is going to fit into a survival horror game, because side quests are of course more of an RPG kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to avoid fights when possible, and deliver incapacitating blows, and then just like leg it. So kind of like what Dead Space does, except you're not actually killing
Dead
in the end.
Dead Space, don't get me started about Dead Space.
Well, because with Dead Space, the point is, take out the legs, take out an arm, then, you know, you can pretty much get them. Or just take out the legs and you can stomp on the heads.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. So they're kind of taking that kind of aspect and putting it into it. Because, of course, before you'd have to either whack a monster or shoot it a few times and then stamp on it to make sure it's dead.
Stamp on it? That doesn't sound pleasant.
So
What?
Move
sorry.
To the side.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, you keep it in front of my stuff.
I'm trying to browse the interwebs.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do a show.
No one listens to this show anyway.
Incorporating into the... Shut up. Incorporating into the avoiding fights, the reason for this is because there's no weapon inventory anymore. And your weapons weaken and then break. So similar to the Dead Rising mythology... Mythology? That's the wrong term. Way of doing it. So, because of course, in Dead Rising, you get the weapons,
and
you
then
use
breaks.
Them for a bit, they start flashing red, and then they break.
Great.
The only thing is, of course, in Dead Rising, you can kind of line up a few weapons that you want to keep. In this, you have one weapon.
Fantastic.
And, hey, you could be Frank West. You just said it like he does, when you take a good picture.
Fantastic.
Now you don't have any enthusiasm. There will be boss fights, however they will feature quick time events. Water is a big feature of the game, notice from the title Downpour, like rain, downpour. And apparently...
like heavy rain. Heavy?
Yes. there's going to be like bizarre water effects, they claim, from because something they saw on the level was what looked like an upside down river flowing across the ceiling, which I think sounds pretty cool. It reminds me of something, but I'm not sure what. As
Max
well as that,
Powers, the journey through Max Payne.
The prominent locations from the older Silent Hills, like the school and the hospital.
Oh, that'll keep Falklore happy, because he says the last decent one has been the second one. And then it sucks since. That's just something from the chat room. I thought I'd just throw that in.
Silent Hills is a good one. What was I saying? The school and hospital and all those things that you remember from the previous games are not in it anymore.
Oh no.
They've totally cut them from it. This is mainly because the game is taking part in the southeastern part of Silent Hill. So the areas on the maps that you saw in the older games that you did not have the chance to go to, you get to explore them in Downpour. And as well as that, there will be a difficulty level for the puzzles.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fun. There has also been a zombie real-time strategy game announced.
Yeah, so we mentioned the announcement of this ages ago, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were looking for a publisher.
It's now going to be coming out in February this year.
Yes. They've got a publisher now, which is Iceberg Interactive, and it should be coming out February 25th.
Yep, so basically, you can sort of think of... What was that game that Valve released the other day for free? Alien Swarm.
Oh, yeah.
It looks kind of like that from sort of above.
Yeah, it's like an isometric...
Yeah, so you basically obviously just go around and kill zombies.
Mm.
Real-time strategy-esque mode. So that actually looks quite interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's got cooperative multiplayer and stuff like that, which was obviously going to be a main feature of the game, in my opinion.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, no one cares about that. Tomb Raider Trilogy.
No. All I have is a picture, because I'm just announcing they've announced two new characters, who are Hagar, who's from, I believe it's Final Fight? Fatal Fury?
Oh, yeah, that's that guy. That's like that from old school.
That thing that we had on the other day was him talking or whatever.
Yeah, okay, no one cares.
And then Phoenix from X-Men.
Phoenix, right, cool.
No, Phoenix. Stupid Phoenix, I hate Phoenix.
Chat room says Marvel vs. Capcom sucks. I agree with you, chat room.
Okay, so Tomb Raider Trilogy. I spoke to Paul about this the other day and how I thought it was a bit stupid. But then I've realised why it's not as stupid as I thought. So... Crystal Dynamics.
Hey, wait.
Square Enix and Eidos.
This is going to keep Sean happy. Oh, I can buy all the games again.
Yeah. Are releasing a Tomb Raider trilogy on the PS3, which is containing Tomb Raider Legend, Tomb Raider Anniversary, and Tomb Raider Underworld.
So if you fancy buying games you already own, feel free to buy them.
Not essentially. So I realised Legend and Anniversary never came out on the PS3.
That's because the PS3 sucks.
They had them on the PS2.
That's because the PS2 sucks.
So they're probably going to give them the 360 version, I imagine.
Yeah.
And port it over. That's coming out March 25th.
Yep. Japanese Nintendo 3DS launch titles have also been announced.
Yes,
there are going to be 8. I thought there was going to be 9.
2, 4, 6, 8.
Okay, apparently there's 8.
Oh, did I say 9 the other day?
I thought there was 9.
I think I said 9.
Nintendogs and cats.
Which is cool because it's got cats. And it looks
really
nice.
Winning 11 as well. Again, Pro Evo basically. Super Street Fighter, Samurai Warriors Chronicle, Puzzle Bobble, Ridge Racer?
Yeah,
this is like a PlayStation launch
title. I think it's weird enough that they're having Puzzle Bobble, but Ridge Racer is even more weirder.
Yeah. Battle of the Giants Dinosaurs. Is this like that Combat of Giants
pretty
series?
Much,
or
think.
Is this just what they call it in Japan? Is it different?
I think that's probably what they call it in Japan.
Okay, cool. Professor Layton and the Mask of Miracle.
So you'll notice no Zelda, no Mario. no... Well, the only two Nintendo titles there are Nintendogs and Cats and Professor Layton. And even that, Professor Layton's not actually a Nintendo title.
No. So, what are Nintendo doing?
I don't know.
Is this what they call a product launch or a fat person falling down the stairs? And look at that.
Professor Layton is cheaper than Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer is one of the most expensive ones on there.
That's because they know it isn't going to sell. So they have to bump the price up for the Ridge Racer fans.
So the titles that are on launch are actually more expensive than a regular DS title, and actually close to a region the price of a PSP game is in Japan.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more expensive than they usually are in America, and I imagine will be a lot more expensive over here.
Yeah, so we're thinking these 3DS titles are probably going to be 40 quid.
As opposed to 30 quid.
Yeah.
Which will put a lot of people off.
And it will also mean some titles will probably no doubt be 45 as well.
Yeah. Because it puts people off enough when their kid wants a £30 DS game. They're like, oh, you'd rather have this £10 game, wouldn't you?
I mean, I think Nintendo have...
They're kind of burying themselves in the hole right now.
Yeah.
Even though I still may get one.
Only May now. Wow, this has really put Catherine off.
No,
just a few months ago, Catherine was keen on getting
the next bit puts me off.
Okay, so yeah, there's obviously with the launch titles, we've also got more information about the specs of the machine. The battery life is rubbish. 3 to 5 hours of battery life with the screen on its lowest setting playing a 3DS.
With the backlight still on.
Yeah, the lowest.
The thing is, if you turn the backlight off, I'm sure the screen's going to look horrible.
It looks like the original DS. Even worse.
I'm amazed they haven't given stats for if you got the 3D turned off.
I didn't imagine it made much difference, though.
Well, you can turn it down.
Yeah, but I wouldn't imagine it make any difference to battery, no. Because at the end of the day...
All you're doing is separating
tilting the pixels. The backlight, which is actually what's using more power.
So they claim it'll be 5 to 8 hours if you're playing an old DS game. Which, is that about the DSi, maybe? I reckon that's maybe.
I think the DSi is probably a bit better than that.
Yeah. I don't know, because whenever I play on mine, it's not extended hours.
I know, let's have a quick look.
So they're the kind of things they've said. Of course, the DS, well, the 3DS, will come with the backlight on and the brightness onto quite high as a default. So I imagine a lot of people will buy it and the battery's going to die really quickly. They might even think there's something wrong with it and take it back, maybe.
Maybe.
I reckon that would happen.
Okay, low brightness, DSi is 8 to 12 hours, DS Lite is 10 to 15.
Then medium, it's 6 to 5, and then high, 4 to 6. So
if you had...
DSi on high is better than the 3DS on low.
So if we assume that, like the DSi, having a screen at maximum brightness halves the battery life, that means a battery life
between
1.5 and 2.5 hours.
Jeez.
Not good. This console is not doing very well, in my opinion. But obviously, once Nintendo send us a promo copy, we may change our minds.
So, the only reason I'm considering maybe not getting one is if our launch titles are like that.
I think they're going to be worse than that.
Because
we're not going to get Professor Layton, are we?
Well, no, we would.
They'll hold that until the end of the year.
We'll get that in next year, maybe, or the year after.
We wouldn't get a Winning 11 game.
They've still got another Professor Layton that we haven't got.
Yeah, so we're not going to see Professor Layton. We're not going to see Winning 11. If we don't see Nintendogs, they've got nothing else, basically.
No. And the thing is, it's like Puzzle Bobble. Oh, I love Puzzle Bobble. But if that's going to come out at 40 quid, I'm not going to pay that for a Puzzle Bobble game. Not in the 1990s.
Mobile games should be like 5 quid or cheaper.
I mean, to be fair, like, all those people who have developed these games haven't had that long to develop them. But then that's also the thing that it might mean that they're not that great.
True. In other news, there's been a new thing announced at CES.
Yes.
Which is a weird-looking thing with things on.
So it's called Siftio. I'm actually quite interested in them because I think it's kind of cute.
It seems limited and pointless.
Yeah, it's very limited and probably extremely pointless. But, excuse me, a nice concept for a way to make games.
Debatable.
So you get these three... Well, by default, when you buy them... No, you can actually buy them yet. You get three little cubes, which all have a screen, and the screen's a touch screen as well.
Yeah, the little cubes are about an inch, so this is obviously a mobile gaming platform. They're like inch-square, cubey, rectangular square jobbies. Yeah. They've got little screens on one surface of them, and you basically...
It's a touch screen.
Yeah, and you basically arrange them So you get three of these things, so you could arrange them either side, and that will give you a sort of screeny thing, and then maybe that will interact with the game. Yeah. So, for example,
they've got a few different games on there. So one of them that they showed was kind of like, it's not really Bejeweled, but like Swirl, Sega Swirl, you know, Bubble that we used to have on our Windows phones?
Windows?
Was it Bubble?
Mobile.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the kind where, as long as you've got more than as long as you've got two or more next to each other,
you can click tap on them and they disappear.
So it's, there's a game like that where you can tap them and they disappear. Or if you put, if one side has reds on it, and inside another cube a side has reds on it, if you put those two sides together, they disappear. It's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, you need to see the stuff. Right?
The probably better one to explain is they had like a Simon Says kind of game, so you have to do what it says. So you'd have three of them placed on the table, and it would flash up on the screen and say, neighbor, well, I think it said something like, partner the devices or neighbor them, which meant put them all next to each other. And then it would say, yay, you did it. And then you separate them again. And it's like, it'd say, tilt up on one of them, and you move that one up. And then you just do as it says.
Right.
But then the thing is, they showed no kind of failure to the game. And that showed no failure. It is kind of quite gimmicky for something that is probably quite expensive.
Yep. More importantly, much more importantly, Microsoft...
Oh my god, I watched the video for this. I thought it was awesome.
For what?
This.
Microsoft announced Avatar Kinect, which is basically a thing with a bald man in it.
That's Mr. Barmer. That's
the impression I got Steve from Barmer. Watching the thing.
So... I thought this was quite cool.
Yeah, so Catherine can explain it, because I need to quickly load something up so I can make a funny noise.
At first, I thought, oh, it's a chat room, I don't care.
Yeah, it's basically a virtual chat room.
That's what you think if you don't watch a video.
But it uses Kinect, and Kinect can recognise your facial expressions, your arm movements, your eyebrows doing this. And so it actually like fully animates you. In the Kinect worldy thing with your avatar, so you can be sat around a table with your mates talking about stuff.
So it would be just like the kind of current chat things you can have, but with your avatars instead.
Yes.
And as well as that, you can actually...
What?
I knew you were going to do that.
I knew you did it.
You can also somehow, I'm not entirely sure how much, because they showed it in the video, but of course that's not out yet. You can record. Well, it says you can share your video, because of course they've got the Facebook stuff on Xbox Live. You can say to share, and it can upload it to Facebook.
Well, it won't upload directly to Facebook. It will upload to like Kinect sharing or whatever it is, right?
Oh, okay.
And then you,
because it was weird because they showed a YouTube link on that video.
Really?
They don't have YouTube.
No. Anyway. This actually looks quite cool, and it does show the potential of Kinect in the future, because doing facial expressions now, that's not too shabby in my opinion.
No, I think it's quite good.
Best of all, it'll be free for gold members, and it's coming out in spring.
Yes. When it says 15 stages, does that mean the
15 environments where you can sit around in?
Some of them looked a bit cheesy, but yeah, I think it's cool. Potential. Hopefully they'll share that with other developers. Next up is a...
Well, to be honest, I think they need to pad out a lot of the Kinect APIs, don't they?
They do. Next up, I think this and some of my stuff further on, I kind of like talking about some indie games. So I watched a trailer for something called Kentucky Route Zero. So if you like independent games...
No.
This looks really cool.
No.
So it's about a secret highway in Kentucky... That right. Mysterious people travel along.
Okay.
And the video, there was like some lady singer. Is
Simon Pegg going down the road?
No, Simon Pegg. Some guy with his kid and this giant eagle. And it just looked really, really cool. So I can't really mention much about it because all it was a trailer. Visually, it looks really, really nice. Visually, the game looks really nice. And it's set to be coming out fall 2011. It's going to be a PC game.
Okay, cool.
And I recommend people check out the trailer.
Has this actually been officially announced yet, or is these just images floating around at the moment?
There were actually videos of it working.
Official videos of it working, or just people floating around and grabbing one? So yeah, the Sony Ericsson Jobby being released under the Xperia brand is apparently a PlayStation phone. So it's like this, the other Xperia phones they've done, only instead of having a QWERTY keyboard, it's got a controller interface.
What the hell is this about?
Speakers, maybe?
Maybe.
It's got a D-pad and then the X, circle, square, triangle buttons, which are not as good as X, Y, A, B, Z, X, whatever it is.
A, B, X, Y.
Look, dude, on my
you got a Z
Mega
on yours.
Drive, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, your...
Yeah, my Saturn had that.
Your Saturn had a cheap controller. They did have... look how cheap the controllers were back then.
They weren't as solid.
Why is this on here? Because we already sort of knew about this, didn't we?
True, but stuff's floating about now.
So yeah, stuff's floating about this PlayStation phone, which is not carrying the PlayStation brand, bar the X, circle, triangle, square buttons, by the look of it.
I think they're trying to label it as a major gaming platform, but...
no offense, but Windows Phone 7? Do they? Killzone 3 has also been announced to be rubbish. We already knew this, and therefore we don't need to spend time talking about it. This is where the chat room erupts in rage. Oh no, Ashley Falklore agrees with me. I thought there was a Killzone trailer shown
at CES. You should watch it. It actually makes it look like a rubbish. Nice kind of sci-fi game.
Rubbish.
Because the whole army of Hellgast against the other guys. It was a bit weird because in the trailer there was an extremely British guy shouting out some commands, which I found out was Ray Winstone. And then they got Malcolm McDowell in it as well, and I'm just like, what? But it does actually look quite cool.
Yep, it also comes out next month on PlayStation 3.
Yes, that's true.
It's nice that all the PlayStation exclusives miss Christmas. Whoops.
They do. Yeah, Little Big Planet, Killzone, all missed.
What is this?
So they've announced some of the new games coming out in February for Xbox Live Arcade, and they're doing them in a promotion apparently called Xbox Live Arcade House Party. There's going to be 5 games released over a 5-week period, some of which I really don't care about, some of which are really cool. They're going to start it off with Hard Corps Rising on the 16th of February. I don't really know what that is, nope. To be fair. And then the other games will follow 1 week after that. So the other games are Full House Poker, which, you know, poker, you know, good for people who like poker. Bejeweled Blitz, so a new Bejeweled game for Xbox Live. Beyond Good and Evil HD Remake. And then Torchlight, which was that game I was playing the other day.
Oh, that sort of Diablo WoW thing.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So we now know at least, well, one of them will be coming out March time. Because, of course, from the 16th, well, two of them will be coming out March. Because from the 16th of February, if they're coming out every week, you're going to go into March.
Yeah, we also know that Lionhead are releasing a game on Windows Phone 7.
Oh, well, that Fable Golf.
Yeah.
Out in Game Room.
Game Room sucks.
Well, for my phone.
Maybe if they gave us 10 free arcades to fill our game room, but no. Anyway, a bit of an update from the chat room. We've agreed that nobody wants Killzone, so we've said that the Wii can have it.
I pre-ordered a copy.
Yeah, but the Wii can have it. We don't want it.
Hellgast Edition.
No, the Wii can be released on the Wii.
Hellgast Edition!
Nobody else wants it.
I'm buying it.
Stay away. The game called Catherine.
Yeah.
I've
added more show notes about it.
Yeah, we're talking about it again.
Catherine, there is a new gameplay trailer for it, which shows that it's not your average Persona team RPG like they usually make. It's a puzzle game. So think Kurushi. Remember that game, Paul? With the blocks and the falling.
Blocks and falling.
You had the music play on Name That Game one time.
Did I?
I think Gary gave it to you. As a suggestion.
Oh, what, on the PlayStation 1?
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Charlotte was playing it ages ago. So it's kind of like Kurushi, in a sense, because there's blocks, and it's frantic, but it's vertical. And there's lots of kind of ways of getting killed, and I think it looks really cool.
Great.
As well as that, I think the producer or director posted up on their blog that there will be a possible demo coming soon before the game comes out on February 17th.
That'd be good, then. I take it Japanese accounts only, of course.
Yeah, it will be Japanese accounts, but it's so easy to make a Japanese account. You know, you can just download a demo like that. And I'll probably do that because I'll be waiting for my copy to arrive.
Okay, Voxatron is a game looks scary.
So, I've never heard of voxels before.
A voxel is a volumetric pixel.
Yeah, I know that now, because Blade Runner was made of voxels.
And so is Tiberium Sum and Red Alert 2.
Oh, really?
Well, let me... the units, well, the vehicles were made of voxels, the bases were just 2D sprites, as were the infantry, and then the terrain was just terrainy. I'm not sure if the terrain actually used it or if they just had a flat texture with different varying levels, because there was like 3 levels you can use in the game. But yeah, the actual vehicles were made out of voxels, so when they went down a hill, you could actually see the back of them, because they were like that. Voxels never really took off, because there weren't really any accelerator cards which supported voxels.
Okay, so...
But voxels, in theory, are superior, in my opinion.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a certain granularness to them, because they're made of pixels. But obviously now with supercomputers, you know, we can have like we can have models made out of a billion voxels. So it's like whatever. And then it also has other aspects of advantages as well, because polygons are gay.
So what we're talking about is there's a game coming out called Voxatron, which is a game made of voxels. So it's coming out sometime this year, and it's an indie shooter. So it looks like 3D Dot Game Heroes if you watch the video. And you can shoot the environment, and it's kind of like a mix between 3D Dot Game Heroes Zelda kind of style. And it looks quite cool. The city's kind of like Robotron in 3D. And then also like Smash TV elements have been added to it as well. So they've got little arenas in which you can do certain things. So yeah, I thought that looked kind of cool. I recommend people check out the trailer for Voxatron and Kentucky Route Zero. Is that the name of it? Actually, I can't remember. Both videos you should check out.
Couple of shout outs to not official letter segment here, but we got a shout out to the guy who left us a comment on the Happy New Year,
the Happy Holidays post.
Happy Holidays post, because it didn't hit my inbox because I didn't make the post like I do with the episodes, so I didn't see it. That was a guy called we don't know the guy's name.
The thing's not open.
No, that's not our website.
No, it's not, is it? Oh, that's the one that's for
sale.
That's
the one. Shh. Don't say that.
There you go. Happy holidays.
Oh, no, right, I'm clicking on it.
You clicked on the wrong one.
I'm clicking on it. Yeah, one.
There you go.
Okay, the guy called Nathan. All right, so yeah, we missed that last week, so we're just going to shout that out. Another shout out also to a guy called Francesco. I don't know who that is, but whatever's... Oh, that's Antonio! Hey Antonio, it's nice to see you in the chat room. You can have fun with Baxter in there, I suppose. Quick comment from the chat room, his name couldn't be any gayer. Antonio is a well epic name. Don't mess with Antonio, yo. Don't mess with him.
Beast. See? My name is Beast.
Now the chat room is arguing.
It's time for Name That Game.
Last week, everyone would have heard this little clip of sound. Catherine last week guessed that it was Kinect Sports.
That's right.
Kinect Sports is the correct answer. This is the clip of music which plays when you are on the view video screen after you finish playing.
Of course, if we had recorded the episode before Christmas and Paula played that Name That Game, I would not have known what that was.
Francesco Antonio Mario Luigi Cavelli Barrichello would have guessed that if he was in the chat room last week and had heard it, because I know he's got the game also.
Oh, yeah.
Just a shout out to the guy in the chat room at the moment. This week we've got something a little bit more tricky.
Oh, great.
And it's also a lot shorter, so pay attention.
Monk! I need a monk!
Any guesses? Hey, chat room, any guesses, yo? Oh, Falclaw's just like, WTF.
Monk, I need a monk. You were talking about monks in Oblivion the other day.
I was talking about monks in Oblivion, but that was because I was always classed as a monk whenever I played through this stupid, like, beginning level. Clue, it is not The Elder Scrolls. It is multi-platform. It has been released on multiple platforms. It is knocking on a bit now, though. I'm talking quite old now. Like, 10 years?
Multi-platform.
Maybe 8 years, I don't know. Yeah, multi-platform. It was on at least 3 platforms.
So 8 years, 2002.
I don't know exactly, something like that.
How many platforms did you just say?
At least 3.
At least 3? Is this something you've actually played?
Yes. I have played it on 2 of the 3 platforms.
Oh, really?
I would not play it on the 3rd platform because it was a rubbish platform and the game was no doubt rubbish on that platform.
So I'm going to say you probably played it on something that was on Xbox and PC. What would you have played? Oh my god, I don't know. It's quite difficult.
Ooh, actually, I might be thinking of the wrong game. It might just be on two platforms, but one in the series was on another platform as well. Might not be this one in the series. So yeah, come on, get a guess out there, dude.
Monk.
It's taking time.
I need a monk.
Monk! I need a monk!
I have no idea.
Oh, and you would... Okay, another clue, you would make the play sound by typing in a number and pressing enter. Obviously not enter on a console, if it was on a console.
Type a number and then press enter?
Yeah. So like, you know, type a number and press
enter. Is that a hint?
That gives you a clue. So what games do you have to type a number in? You don't have a clue, do you?
No.
Right. In that case, we're just going to finish this up because you don't know what it is.
No, I have no idea what it is.
Because you are not epic enough. Catherine has no clue. Chat room, last few seconds to guess. If anyone cares to, Falclaw, you're just screaming about how it's the worst game ever, which is not related. So no. That Francesco Antonio Michelangelo, whatever his name is, doesn't know what it is either. So you all fail. You'll find out the answer, of course, next week when I reveal the answer on episode 232.
New releases this week.
Okay, there are actually some games coming out this week.
Yeah.
DC Universe Online is coming out.
This is
not that anyone's going to play this.
This is the Sony Europe, I believe. Well, Sony have made it, like SOE, because of course they made what, EverQuest and Galaxies. So they released.
I was always going to play EverQuest.
Yeah.
And I never did.
Galaxies was good. I spent a year on Galaxies, maybe more.
Get nerd.
Anyway, so this is their newest title, DC Universe Online. As you may have guessed from the title, it's a DC Comics game. You can play as...
So it's like City of Heroes, only officially licensed.
Yeah. So you can battle with or against any superhero and villains from the DC Universe. You can, of course, wander around the 3D environments. Not sure how they actually put them together. Because, of course, if you're going through Arkham and Gotham and Metropolis and all these different places, they kind of don't meld into one. So unless you're just saying, go to this place now, go to this place now.
Frantonio. Oops, sorry.
But yeah, it's your usual kind of MMO that you get. You get a 30-day subscription as usual with the game. After that, you then have to... pay for a subscription, of course.
Frantonio.
Which, Paul, costs...
I'm just talking to the chat room, yo.
Okay, it costs $9.99 for a month, and then $27.99 for 3 months, and you can also buy for 6 months for £50.
What, you have to pay for... What in that rip-off, Mike?
This is PS3 and PC. So this is actually the first PS3 subscription game?
MMORPG.
I believe.
Is it an RPG?
Massive multiplayer online game. So there's combat. I suppose it might be an RPG. I don't know.
New Kingdom Hearts game coming out this week as well. This is Recoded.
Yes, this is a DS title. The second Kingdom Hearts DS title, actually. I haven't played the first one.
No one cares.
And this takes... It actually, I must say, the graphics on it look quite good for a DS game.
The graphics?
I was trying to paste in some of the images from on Play, I think it was. But they didn't want to paste in because their website sucks.
Yes, the website is to suck.
But yeah, because it sounds kind of confusing because it's got side-scrolling boss battles and 3D shooting. So I was just like, oh, I'm not sure what they're doing with this. But yeah, so new Kingdom Hearts game coming up. Next up, I'm totally looking forward to this game. Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. This is the newest Capcom title to come out on DS. And it's created by the...
Simon Pegg!
No, not Simon Pegg. I can't think of what his name is. He is being made by the team that work on the Phoenix Wright games.
Phoenix Wright? Yeah. That's the guy from the thing we talked about earlier.
Totally different to the usual Phoenix Wright kind of adventure game, point-and-clicky almost type game that you're used to. Whereas this is, you manipulate the body of a dead man, you put his soul in inanimate objects to... use cause and effect in order to kill someone or knock them out or stop them from killing someone or to save someone's life. And I think it's well cool. I played it earlier last year at the Nintendo event, back when I played like
Nintendo.
Loads of stuff. And this was something I played. Hardly any other people were playing it because they're stupid.
They all wanted to play that rubbish game, which no one cares about.
No, they all wanted to look at 3DSs.
3DS is rubbish.
And they didn't have any actual games on them anyway. But yeah, so this is really cool and is coming out. And is the first of Capcom's DS games to come out this year.
Buzz Ultimate Music Quiz is being released.
PSP.
This is basically the PSP one of the PS3 one, which came out a little while
ago. I'm not sure how, because the thing is, the blurb says, challenge your friends and family to some musical buzzing action. It's like, what, on your PSP?
Oh, apparently I have to say something about Rift this week. Shut up, Falclaw. That's what Catherine says, but she's too polite to say it. The main release this week is the third and fourth episodes of Wallace and Gromit. Grand Adventures. This is the thing where I'm still OG-ing.
Oh, I do owe you, Gian. I don't know.
You
do
owe me the G's.
I'll do it for you sometime, okay?
Give me the G's.
I'll do it for you on a weekend. Maybe I'll do it for you next weekend.
Frantonio knows about the G. He's just past 5,000.
So yeah, Wallace and Gromit episodes 3 and 4 coming out. I pretty much really quite enjoyed episode 1, which Paul saw me play and get my 200 G in. And we'll get him his 200 G in. This is coming out on PC, and it's the first. Well, it's the retail release of episodes 3 and 4, because they've done a retail release of 1 and 2 as
so
well.
So I take it this is going to be on Steam and other platforms.
Well, it's already out on Steam.
Oh, is it? Okay.
You can already,
this is just a box release.
This is a boxed release, but they're not releasing a whole season. They're just doing them in 2 episode.
How if they should just do the whole lot?
They should,
really, shouldn't they? Because
I'm not sure who's actually publishing this either. So it's whoever got it in their crazy mind to release 2 episodes at a time.
It wasn't EA, was it?
It was not EA.
EA Sports. It's EA. It's published by EA Sports.
It had a logo on the front with an M on it at the end, and I can't remember who it is, but it looks
Monkey
really
Man.
Familiar. No, it's not Monkey Man. That's not
Monkey Man. The guy from Enslaved. He set up a publishing company in the universe of Enslaved, and the pig guy is his helper.
No, he did not.
Fine. Whatever.
So yeah, that's all that's coming out this week.
Previews and or reviews.
This is a review of Revolution on Windows Phone 7.
Yes, so Revolution is kind of like a puzzle kind of arcade
title. It's a puzzle game, yo.
A puzzle game with cogs, specifically. It costs, what, £2.50?
£2.49.
£2.49.
200G.
200G, as Paul would say. And is kind of like, it's got gravity in mind. Okay. And you're placing cogs. You get, say, a starter cog that's moving in one corner, and a cog in another corner that isn't moving, and you've got to then make all the cogs move.
Let me just explain it. You've basically got a cog which is moving, and you need to make another cog move. To do this, you put cogs in between.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. Easy.
So yeah, it's a puzzle game. There's what, dozens and dozens of levels?
There are
multiple 75 difficulty levels. It does get quite hard.
Yeah, it ranks
the interface is really nice.
The interface is lovely. That's like my favourite thing of it. There's 3 different packs of levels. You are ranked on your time, the amount of moves you made, and something else. What else?
How much you suck.
What else you timed on?
How long it takes Michael Jackson to appear in the game and kill you.
Sadly, he does not appear in the game.
Oh, well, yeah. Wasn't that the point?
Not really.
Hey, look, we can hear the soundtrack.
It's pretty. It's nice, just generally visually, anyway. So you're. Always,
hey,
it's just you're giving a rank.
Get off my phone.
Dude,
this is a really bad review because you've stopped talking
fine,
for the
sorry.
Last minute.
I don't know. Well, you're ranked on different things. There's a really tricky achievement of. Finishing it within an hour, which is kind of a bad thing because then you're finishing the game in under an hour, but then it's also a good thing because it's challenging. Overall, it's a really nice game. It follows the same Windows Phone 7 interface that the whole of the phone has. It doesn't rotate, and it works really well.
200G. Maybe we should also review Ilo Milo on Windows Phone 7 as well.
We could do.
Because we can always... we talked about the Xbox one before, haven't we?
Yeah, we talked about
it. Ilo Milo, Xbox 360, £4. A bit more expensive. You get your 200Gs. Plays just like the Xbox one, only you don't have the cool trumpet man and the drums.
You just said Ilo Milo, Xbox 360. Do you mean Windows Phone 7?
Well, yeah. Meaning we've talked about the 360 one before.
Yeah, $3.99.
4 quid, I already said.
Right, I just said $3.99 because you said 4 quid. $3.99. It works just as well as the 360
frame
version.
Frame rate's really nice. Good puzzles.
Nice little
easy
camera
to play.
Movement on moving the phone with the tilt sensor.
Nice scaling difficulty. Some of the levels, like later
they
on, do start getting hard.
They have changed the level structure around, though. So on the Windows Phone 7 version and the 360 version, the first chapters, they are exactly the same. On Xbox 360, however, the second chapter is underwater, but on the phone, it's set in a different place and it's like a copy-paste kind of crafty world. So yeah, they are different in some aspects. Obviously, to make sure you're not bored, because if you play it through on Xbox 360, you've got to play it through
the same levels.
You've got to do single player and then co-op, and then if you'd have to play the Windows Phone 7 version exactly the same, you'd get really bored of it.
So yeah, it's obviously a bit different.
I paid 4 quid for it.
I will probably pay 4 quid for it in the next few hours.
Even though I also bought it on 360.
I didn't need to buy it on 360 because I could just play it on her Xbox.
Yeah, because it's co-op, so.
Yes, co-op is the best thing about it, and then I've only got 100G in it.
I've only got 100G.
We need to get the last 100G.
Yeah.
And then we can go, in your face, Antonio.
Yes, in your face.
Yeah, and in your face, Falklore, as well. Why don't you play World of Warcraft more? So yeah, basically, I would review Island Modo 5 and Revolution.
I would actually give Revolution 5.
5 as well.
I really quite like it. And for £2.50.
Yeah, £2.50, 200G. Work it out. It's so much cheaper
and it's
than
a
buying
nice
Xbox
game.
Games.
It's a nice game. Unlike some of the games which are maybe a bit ropey on Windows Phone 7, this game, Revolution, is just
solid.
For
example, Tower Blocks, which is quite a poor release.
I think it's horrible.
Even Fruit Ninja, it's not running at the native resolution of the screen.
That's not £2.50 worth either.
No, Fruit Ninja
is Revolution
like
is
worth.
Definitely worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah.
So yeah, we will be back next week where we will talk about...
Games.
Something else.
Games.
Entirely.
Lots of games.
Yes.
And we'll catch you then.
Yeah, catch you guys next week.
See ya.